Welcome to the Z. Michelson Travel Podcast. This podcast is devoted to the travel industry. Z says let your imagination run wild and start dreaming about where you want to go. And dream big, reach for the stars, and if you only get to the moon, at least you enjoyed the trip. Your guide to travel is Z. Michelson, a travel advisor. And sitting at the controls is Jay Lawrence, your concierge of podcast travel.
Can you
now here's Z.
You're jumping over me there. You're jumping over me, Jay. You're jumping over me.
I cannot believe it. Yes, I'm in a different location today. I'm on remote, so here I
know you have that weird headset with microphone on. And
yes.
You're making clicking sounds. There we go. You got to hold your mic still. Well, of course, I am Z. Michelson, and that was my partner in crime there, Jay.
No, I'm your podcast. I'm your concierge of podcast travel.
Get it all right. Yeah, well, we have a great show planned for today.
Yes, we do.
We have Renee Protashu coming to the studio. Renee spent 26 years in the Navy.
Wow.
Most of it on the water.
Uh-huh.
On some big aircraft carriers and other ships that we have. So he spent a lot of time. And he also wrote a book, Meditation Made Simple. So we're going to be talking with him in a little bit.
All right. And so do we have a travel tip coming?
We're going to be having a travel tip after we talk with Renee.
Oh, after? Sure, we talk with Renee, because I thought there was going to be a trivia question as
well. We got that as well today, too.
So much things to do. So can we bring Renee in?
Yeah, let's bring him in now. We have a guest right here in our studio. His name is Renee Protashu. And Renee spent many, many years in the military. He went into the Navy in 1976 in the Philippines and then was assigned to Japan. And he spent 23 years in Japan. Am I correct on that, Renee?
That's right.
23 years in Japan, and then you also wound up in Hawaii.
Yes, okay. After retiring.
After retiring, you went to Hawaii. But now you're retired here in the state of Florida because all your children are here. So tell me a little bit about your time that you spent in Japan. I'm sure you got some leave. Is that what they call it in the military?
Leave when you go on vacation. Mm-hmm. Liberty when you go off the ship.
And you were on a lot of ships.
Yes.
Okay, so, all right. So when you were assigned to Japan, you were on a ship.
Yeah, my first assignment was a combat store ship in Yokosuka, Japan.
What's a combat store ship?
It's like the replenishment ship that goes up into the ocean and brings
provisions to the other ships.
It's Walmart on the sea.
It's the Walmart
yes,
on the sea.
Exactly, it is.
So then you were on there, and then you went on Liberty.
No, that was my entire destination for 12 consecutive years.
Oh, so you never got Liberty?
Well, Liberty is when you go home, you're in Liberty.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So did you have time to visit Japan while you were there?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Plenty. I visited the entire Japan, actually, myself.
What was your favorite place in Japan?
I would say Kyoto.
Kyoto. And why is that?
Because Kyoto is unique. If you go back in time, you know, Tokyo is very modern.
Very metropolitan.
Yes, mm-hmm. Very big city. It's probably the largest city in the world. But when you go to Kyoto, it's like going back in time.
Wow.
In Japan. So Kyoto is practically like a museum in Japan.
Oh, wow.
Because you'll see so many temples, shrines, parks, jinja, they call it. And so many really just, it's like going back in time.
So you would recommend people when they're going to Japan, not only go to Tokyo, but go to Kyoto.
Yes.
As well. Now, what other places in Japan did you go see?
I've been to Okinawa, which is the farthest island down south of Japan.
Right.
Because I was deployed there for 7 months with the what we call CBs.
Oh, the CBs.
Construction Battalion, Naval mm-hmm. Mobile Construction Battalion. From Okinawa to Kyushu, which is the southern part of the mainland Japan. In between, like Kyoto, Nagoya. And then you go up north, you go to Kanto area, Yokohama, Tokyo. You go up north and you go to Ominato, Beppu, and then the northernmost part of Japan, which is Hokkaido.
Hokkaido. Mm-hmm.
Which is the coldest part of Japan.
Oh, how cold does it get?
Oh, you have to dig your car in the morning.
Oh,
you have
yes.
to go to work.
from
snow.
Coming from New York, I understand that concept.
Yep.
Now, did you also learn the language while you were over there for many years?
A little bit.
Oh,
just enough to, they say, just enough to get myself in trouble.
Right, get your face slapped, right?
Yeah.
Ohio.
When you're Ohio, that's like the state Ohio.
Uh-huh.
Is good morning in Japanese.
Oh, so we've learned something.
Hey, I know one word, you know. Come well, on, give me a credit.
That's what I'm always saying. Learn some part of the language. Hello, goodbye, you know, where's the restroom kind of thing.
Yep.
And people will acknowledge that because a lot of people don't realize, you know, they sometimes get insulted if you don't at least try to acknowledge where you are.
And they're very receptive. If you give them a little bit of trying to learn their language also, they become more friendly to you.
See? Yep. See, there you have it. I'm not lying when I say people learn a little bit of the language. I mean, you don't have to become a linguist in it, but it's nice to learn it. Now, after you left Japan, you went over to California.
Yes.
I remember you telling me you went to California where you actually wound up going up in rank.
Yes.
You know, you wound up doing that. And then you went to Hawaii. Were you stationed in Hawaii or did you just retire in Hawaii?
That's after my retirement. From the time I left California, I was reassigned to another ship, which was the latest aircraft carrier at the time, which is USS Abraham Lincoln.
Oh, wow.
An
mm-hmm.
aircraft carrier with about 5,000 people plus 80 plus aircraft.
Wow.
I became the assistant training officer of that ship and the educational services officer.
That's a lot of people on one ship. And I know the aircraft carriers are very, very large. And it sounds like you spent most of your time at sea.
Yes.
Wait a minute. I had a question. Did he say how many people are on that ship?
Yes, he did.
He did.
Were you not listening, Jay?
I missed it.
How many? Repeat it for the West Coast.
5,500.
Yes.
Okay. That sounds like one of our cruise ships. You know.
The cruise ships are getting that big now, but they don't have planes on them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you like being at sea? I mean, you say you have three children, so obviously you got married somewhere along the line.
Well, 2 years after I joined the Navy, I got married in the Philippines, and that brought my wife to Japan.
Oh, great.
I actually have two children born in Japan.
Wow. Yeah. Two children born in Japan. And obviously, you have three children, so you know, your wife must have been used to, he's holding up four. He has four children.
I have four children.
And so obviously, your wife was used to you being at sea.
Yes. And thank goodness to all the support that I left behind in the port where we were located with our families.
Well, that's
because
good.
Without them, it's going to be tough for sailors who are out there in the middle of the ocean for months before we see each other again. So
right. And you got married in the Philippines. You brought your wife over to Japan and she probably left half her family over in the Philippines.
All her family.
Oh, my gosh. So that's scary. That's scary. And I'm sure she was pretty young.
I have a question, Renee. Did you spend all your time in the Pacific Ocean doing the military?
Mostly. But we deployed in Southwest Asia, if you know where that is. The Persian Gulf.
The Persian Gulf.
Yeah.
So were you involved in that conflict?
Oh, yes.
Okay. So, yeah.
We can't talk about it,
but we know that, you know, he was there.
Well, we can now since it's already history.
Right. It is. Yeah. It is in our history books. So you've been to Japan. You've loved all of the places that you visited in Japan. Kyoto was your favorite, it sounds like.
Yes.
And then as you moved on and you wound up in California and learning more and being sent out at sea again, you definitely have to get your land legs coming up now.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, when I was in Japan, we drove on the left side of the street.
Oh.
So when I'd come to the U.S. and drive a car,
uh-huh.
sometimes I found myself on the left side of the
right.
street.
Oops. Oh, my goodness. Oops. Oh, my goodness.
But I catch myself right away and it's like, oh, Renee, pay attention. You're no longer in Japan.
I didn't even realize that.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, I'm very, very you know, if I think of Japan, I think of Tokyo, and I think of a lot of people walking and going on public transportations and things like that.
And driving down the other side of the road is England to me.
Yeah, you know, to me too. England, Australia.
Yeah. You know. Mm-hmm. And your steering wheel is on the right side.
Right. The wheel is on the other side of the road. Ooh, ooh. So now, while you're on the ship for many, many years, on ships, how many ships were you on?
USS White Plains, Francis Hammond, Reeves, and Abraham Lincoln. Four.
Four. So you were on four ships. So you spent a lot of time at sea. Would you even consider going on a cruise these days?
I don't know.
Well, you don't have to work.
I don't mind going back to sea. My wife is the one who I need to convince, because even when I brought her to some of my ships when we're in port,
right?
Even when we're tied up to the pier, she gets sick.
Oh dear, yeah. I don't think you can get her on a cruise line right now. No, no, no.
Unless it's an aircraft carrier.
Well, he brought her on some of them. So, so now you spent a lot of time reading and studying up, and from my understanding is you did a lot of self-taught and learning about meditation.
Yes.
Okay. And you find this is now your greatest venture is doing meditation. And you came out with a book, Meditation Made Simple. Tell me about your journey to get this book going.
When I retired from the military, I was asking above, I was asking God, I said, what do you want me to do for the rest of my life? I'm 49 years old. I've got so many years ahead of me. Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? So I became a student of personal development. I don't really know where I was going. So I became a student of Tony Robbins, mm-hmm. Jim Rohn, mm-hmm. Wayne Dyer, Esther and Jerry Hicks, and many others. I have a whole library of books just for personal development.
Right, self-help and personal development. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And then I got into Qigong also.
Which
Qigong is? Qigong is, Tai Chi. Qi is
like a Tai
energy.
Chi?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Qigong is moving energy mm-hmm. in your body and in the universe. See, because your body is the small universe, and the big universe is the universe.
Right.
So I started learning that from a teacher who was in Minnesota that I've never met. I only ordered his course.
Right.
So I was learning that. And
what was his name?
I was introduced to meditation mm-hmm. with Transcendental Meditation. And I joined a group in Ojai, California, and we used to meditate about weekly or so. So when I moved to Hawaii mm-hmm. In 2014.
Now, you said you were retired when you moved to Hawaii.
I was already retired then.
Right. So why did you move to Hawaii?
Because my wife accepted a position at the Pearl Harbor.
Oh, okay.
She was a federal employee.
Oh, fabulous. Okay. Yeah.
And so we moved there, and I was looking for a group that I could meditate with in Hawaii. Mm-hmm. And I found this book at the thrift shop at Hickam Air Force Base. And I grabbed it. And the only person who spoke about Tao, which is spelled T-A-O.
Right.
It's not a religion. It's just a word that is used to describe what they refer to as God.
Right.
In a different language.
Right.
So when I saw that book, I've heard of Wayne Dyer speak about Tao before, but I'd never had anything that could put my hands on about the Tao. So when I saw it, I grabbed it and I read the book, the first five pages, and it's like, wow, mm-hmm. this is so deep. I'd like to learn more about this. And there was a sticker in the back of the book. And fortunately, at the time, there was a center in Hawaii, and I called that number.
Right.
They told me, you're in luck because the teacher is on the islands.
Oh, that's nice. And so you were able to see him and meet with him.
I know. And mm-hmm. They told me, well, he's in Maui right now teaching a course, but he will come to Honolulu on Tuesday. He will be doing a book signing at Barnes & Noble. I said, what time? And they said, 6:30. And I said, okay, I'll be there. So I went. So he was doing a talk, a short talk before the book signing. And he practically spoke to my heart. He mentioned words that I've been looking for. He said, the purpose of life is to serve. I commit my life to this purpose. To serve is to make others happier and healthier, empowered and enlightened. So I called the number because I was intrigued.
Right.
So when they told me that he was going to be in Honolulu, I did. And then when I met him, I found out he is a doctor of Western medicine. He has a degree in medicine. He's an MD.
He's an MD.
In China. Mm-hmm. He is also a doctor of traditional Chinese medicine.
So he does like acupuncture and herbs? And...
He is actually an expert acupuncturist. He would see between 100 to 120 patients in a day.
Oh, wow.
He was really well sought out.
I would say that's a lot of patients in a day. You know, I believe in acupuncture because it has helped me many, many times over. So, you know, I know when I go in what they have to do to get me set up with everything. And it's like 100 to 120 people.
Yes.
That's a lot of people.
So, and he is also a grandmaster of Tai Chi. He started learning Tai Chi at the age of 6.
Oh, wow.
And he became a grandmaster at the age of 9.
Whoa.
It's like unheard of, really.
Yes, it really is.
Because he is very connected above.
So he became kind of like your mentor.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We haven't mentioned his name.
His name is Dr. and Master Zhi Gang, G-A-N-G, Sha, S-H-A.
He's holding up the book so we can see it.
This was the book that he released at the time, Miracle Soul Healer. When I saw the book, it's like, wow, amazing. And this was written by William Gladstone, a Harvard graduate anthropologist.
Oh, okay.
Who did not believe in Master Xiao and what he did. So he says, I'll write your book, but I'll publish it, but I'm not going to read it.
I'll write it, but I won't read it.
He admitted that because I've met William Gladstone a few times. Mm-hmm. And he said he interviewed all of Master Xiao's top teachers. And as the book went on, before he finished it, he was like, wow, you are really amazing. And then he became a believer.
He became a believer.
Yes.
And there's a lot to be said about this because what happened is you took away and made something for almost everybody to read called your own book, which is Meditation Made Simple. Mm-hmm. So explain your book a little bit.
Meditation Made Simple is actually from the teachings of Master Xiao. Mm-hmm. I've learned how to be a teacher on how to meditate, how to really connect with your higher self, connect with the source, with God, if you may. Mm-hmm. Because most of us, we always wake up in the morning with what we call the monkey mind.
I believe that wholeheartedly.
And we get into all types of suffering all throughout the day. So by the time we finish the day, we'll worn out.
Right. Your brain wants to explode. Understandable.
Yeah, or and end up having migraines, headaches, or different kinds of aches and pains.
So what makes your meditation so simple?
It's very simple because you just really have to tune in to your inner self and align yourself with the universe and calm yourself down. How you quiet the mind, because when you quiet the mind, that's when your body rests and everything happens almost like magic.
Now, people can actually buy your book. Where can they get the book?
It's available on Amazon.com. There are two books on Amazon.com that are titled the same, but my book has a kind of like reddish-pink cover.
Reddish pink cover.
Yeah, and of course it has the author name at the bottom. And
so
it has
your name
yes,
would be on the book. And your name is?
Rene Protasio.
Okay, and that should be easily found. So Meditation Made Simple by Rene Protasio. It's on Amazon, amazon.com. So if you want to buy the book and learn how to, you know, Ease your mind, I'm going to say.
Tune in.
And as you can see, Renee has spent a lot of years following this path, and he's spent many years overseas and on the water. And water is very grounding for some reason. I love to be at sea because it's very grounding.
Yes.
But we do thank you for coming today. And, you know, maybe we'll have you back in and talk some more about some of the other adventures that you went on with the Navy.
Absolutely. May I say something?
Absolutely.
Before we go? Actually, I'm starting a group here at Trilogy of Orlando.
Oh, fabulous.
Starting on the 12th of April. It's going to be at the Artisan Arts and Crafts Studio.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where I'm going to be teaching movement meditation, because we already have somebody who's doing meditation. They do the silent meditation,
right,
where they sit and just tune in.
Right.
There are many types of meditation, and mine would be movement, where we use movement, sound, and mantra to really
tune in,
do self-healing, if you may.
I like the word self-healing, because a lot of people, I think, you know, need to really get in touch with this, because it might calm them down, might help with ulcers, might help with their crazy world. You know, we live in a crazy world right now, and a lot of people need this just to relax.
Yep.
So again, thank you, Renee, for joining us today in the studio. And I'm glad, you know, thank you for your service, that you've spent 26 years in our military. And I'm sure we'll have you back again. Thank you for coming.
Thank you very much. My pleasure.
So as promised, I have a travel tip for you.
Whoopee!
So with all of our traveling, you know, a lot of us are getting on planes.
Yes.
Planes, trains, and automobiles. And
yes.
We're getting on the planes. And many of us are traveling hours on these planes. So there are ways to avoid jet lag.
Okay.
Okay. First things first. You should eat small meals to avoid stomach aches or other problems.
What if you get a good meal like in first class?
Well, well, they're usually small. They're not like, you know, big 9-course dinners. Also, you should avoid alcohol, as it can disrupt your sleep.
Yeah.
So you don't want to do that, because I know when we traveled overseas, we took a red eye. And I do recommend, if you take a red eye and you wind up there at like 10 o'clock in the morning, stay up for the rest of the day.
Yep.
I know it's hard, but, you know, the alcohol and would also bother you. Also, the caffeine, and exercise strategically.
Well, but okay, when the alcohol, shouldn't that help you sleep?
No, alcohol
on the plane?
Alcohol is a stimulant, actually.
It is?
Yeah, some alcohol is a stimulant.
How come I pass out every time I drink alcohol?
Maybe it's the amount you're drinking.
Get me off the couch, please, please. What, do you have a trivia question for me?
I do.
Okay.
So, you know, as we were talking with Renee, we had a lot of information that he gave us regarding meditation and self-help and all of that.
Yeah.
But one of the things that I just love to eat is cheesecake.
Why would eating be a
Well, because here? Eating is part of my meditation.
Really? Yeah.
I love to relax and have a nice dessert or a nice dinner.
I believe that.
Okay, so in which country did cheesecake originate?
It wasn't invented in the United States.
I know. It threw me, too.
Really?
Yeah. When I was doing my research on this, I said, whoa, really?
Okay, I've got two guesses.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, okay, England and then France. And I think France would be the one.
And I thought that, too.
Yeah?
Ancient Greece is the word.
Ancient cheesecake
Greece
has been around that long?
Apparently. Maybe not the way we know it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, ancient Greece.
Wow.
Which doesn't surprise me, because they too have cheese over there in Greece.
Yeah.
So, yeah, ancient Greece is where the cheesecake originated from. Can you believe it?
No, I really can't. That's amazing.
Well, you know, we had a very busy day today. We want to thank Renee Protashuta for coming in.
Yes.
And he was very informational. We may even have him back in the studio again to see how his meditation book is going.
Sounds very interesting.
And I think Jay and I are going to probably have to learn how to meditate, too.
I'm not sure I know how to meditate.
I have a hard time with it. He might be able to enlighten us
with
it.
Yeah.
So, But like I said, there's so much traveling to do, so little time. So tune in every week for more travel information, insights, and just plain old fun. Mm-hmm. Please follow me and like me on Facebook. Do you have a favorite location or an interesting travel tip? You can let me know on my email. That's zmichelson@gmail.com. And I'm also very excited to let you know that my podcast can be heard on all your favorite podcast players. Feel free to give me a review. I'd love to hear what you have to say. Thanks again for listening today. Traveling truly opens up the world to you. You learn all about the different cultures and lifestyles and, of course, food, just like the cheesecake. Then you realize we truly are really the same. So dream, dream big, reach for those stars. And if you only get to the moon, at least you made the trip. If you're looking for some great places to go to and travel to, you can visit my website. It's absolutely free, zmichelsontravel.com. Don't forget, Z is spelled Z-E-E. This is Z. Michelson, making your travel dreams come true.